If I only had one song that I could sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave.
If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
I could sing about the state of grace I live in, for the praise and joy I have when times are tough.
I could talk of all the
blessings I've been given, but in the end my life is just
about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanding to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although
I want to say a few words about Brother J.R. He's following in his dad's footsteps and the Calvary Boys Ranch and doing a wonderful job there. But he has some flaws, and I want to tell you about one of them. Not all of them, but just one of them. We've preached together across the country, his dad and several other preachers, Brother J.R., and they've known that I preach till the water runs out. And I've got a nice glass full here. But Brother J.R. knew that. And so Brother McDonald was out from his church on Sunday and asked me to come and supply for him, and I was happy to do so. And J.R. was in charge of having the water on the pulpit for the visiting preacher. And he knew, of course, that I was going to be doing the preaching. And so he knew that I preached till the water ran out, and he bought my water in a communion cup. That's a short message that I had there. Short message. I am so honored to be here tonight for several reasons. One, in such a wonderful church. We've been treated wonderfully, and I wish that everybody could visit at least one time to the Faith Baptist Church here in your town. And it's such a blessing. We met our brother here at the motel, and he got me fired up just as soon as we got in the motel. And then, lo and behold, Brother Terry's secretary was there, And she got us all pumped up. And so we're all ready to go. And we're honored to be here before so many preachers and home run hitters on the program. And here I am with the privilege of starting it out. And what an honor. That's not the main honor that I feel tonight. The main honor that I feel tonight is this is my 60th year of preaching the Word of God. And to me, it's just the stamp of God of approval on the ministry. I started out 60 years ago, and we had a group of men, the First Baptist Church, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Brother J. Harold Smith was the pastor, and kept us all fired up. And we had about, 50 fellas that go out soul winning on Thursday night. And we had about 10 that were preaching. And it was an unusual group. I mean, you know, a lot of zealous and a lot of get up and go about them. And there's one, John Booth, for instance. He is one of the fellas that was all excited about preaching. He was a bologna salesman. I mean, he could sell bologna and all of that. And John Booth wanted to preach the gospel. He said, if I had $100,000, I'd go full-time. He's always talking like that. He said, if I could read, I could out-preach Billy Graham, and so forth and so on. But we called John Booth and knew that he liked to preach, and we told him he was the pastor of the Arkoma Assembly of God Church just across the river from Fort Smith. And we said, John, we understand that you like to preach revival meetings. He said, I love to preach revival meetings. But before you come now, I want to know how you stand on this once saved, always saved. He said, brother, I can preach it either way. He wanted to preach. He wasn't going to let a little doctrine like that keep him from having the meetings. And so we had these men. And Thel Smith was in charge of the preachers. We were going out in the rural areas and preaching the word. And he came to me and he said, Jack, we're preaching under a brush arbor in Charleston, Arkansas. And he said, it's going to be next week, and your night is Tuesday night. I said, Thel, I can't preach. He said, we can't either, but we're having a good time trying. And your night's Tuesday night, and that was 60 years ago. And I preached Dr. John Rice's message on a good man lost and a bad man saved. Two men went up in the temple, one a publican and one a Pharisee. And you know the message. You preachers are preaching. And later on I saw Dr. Rice. And I said, Dr. Rice, I preached your message on a good man lost and a bad man saved. And three people got saved. And I preached your message. He said, that's all right. I got it out of the Bible. And it's not copyrighted. Go to it. And so that's how God called me to preach. And what a blessing it is to preach the Word of God. Now, I want to tell Brother Terry or Brother Dennis here, you know, when you're 89 years old as a preacher, sometimes you begin to repeat yourself. And if I begin to repeat myself, well, just please tap me on the shoulder and say, thank you, Brother Thompson, and I'll sit down. You know, Brother Terry and Brother Dennis, at 89 years old, you begin to repeat yourself. Now, don't sit me down the first repeat. Don't sit me down. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, no man, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to emphasize on verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And my subject tonight is it worthwhile? Jesus Christ demands self-denial. Now, we're not talking about salvation. Thank God that's free. And all you have to do is ask for it, and it is from God. It is a free gift. But we're talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must deny yourself. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are very, very, very few in our churches today that will deny themselves. I mean, just flat out deny yourself. Now, Peter said, Lord, we've left all. We've left all. Peter was wondering in himself, is it worthwhile to deny yourself? You know, if you deny yourself, you're going to have to give up some things. You can live as a church member, and you can live as a Christian without denying yourself. But if you're going to be a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to deny yourself. And I can't go into all of the denials, self-denial. Some give up many, many millions of dollars. Jamal Badry, a friend of mine, and has worked with me in many revival meetings across the country, was a wonderful singer. Jamal died a couple of years ago. He was 75 years old. But in the beginning, back just out of college, Jimmy Webb, I don't know, you probably don't know Jimmy Webb. He's an Oklahoma boy, but he's an excellent songwriter. He wrote songs for Glenn Campbell and those celebrities and singers in Hollywood. And Jimmy Webb became a millionaire. And he told Jamal, he said, Jamal, I want you to go with me to Hollywood. And I'll make you a millionaire if you'll go with me to Hollywood. And Jamal looked at him and he said, I'm not going to go to Hollywood with you or anybody else. I've decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to deny myself. Thank God. Curtis French, a baseball player at the University of Oklahoma, a pitcher, and he was a good pitcher. And he was offered a contract with the Major League Baseball team, and Curtis French looked at them and he said, no, sir, I'm a singer, and God saved me. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. He hung on the cross for me. He was buried for me, and he rose again for me. And one day he's coming again for me, and I'm not going to be a ball player. I'm going to be a singer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought it was worthwhile. They thought it was worthwhile. Joe Potts, a dear friend of mine, a buyer of cattle, and Dr. John Rice came to Fort Smith with the Sword of the Lord conference, and in the First Baptist Church there, Brother Smith was the pastor, and Dr. Rice came in preaching the Word of God and said that you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And if you're yoked up with an unbeliever, you're out of the will of God. Now, this is John Rice preaching. I'm not preaching this. You know, I mean, those old-time preachers, they preach it. And Joe Potts was in business, and it was Potts and Cooper, cattle commissioners. And he had partners, and one of them was his brother. And when he heard Dr. Rice preach that message, he went to his fellows, and he said, fellows, I heard a message from the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God. And he said, they have told me and preached to me that if I'm unequally yoked together with unbelievers, I'm out of the will of God, and you are an unbeliever. And I love you, and I appreciate you, and I want to see you saved. But if you won't trust Christ as your Savior, I'm getting out of this business because I want to serve God. Self-denial. Thank God for those that are willing to deny themselves. I imagine that Noah wondered, is it worthwhile? Stand up and preach for 120 years. It's going to rain and never had rain. Going to flood, never has flood. That reminded me when I first started out preaching, and I know here I'm watching the clock. We're on fast time up here. You're on slow time. And that's the way it is. That's the way it runs. And I was preaching there in Oklahoma City, and looked out in the congregation, and I was still a layman, and Claude McDonald was the pastor of the church, and he invited me to come, and he said, we're having a premillennial Bible conference, but I just want you to preach a fiery message on the salvation. And I thought, well, if I do that, these preachers will think I don't know anything about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And I didn't know very much about it. But I didn't want anybody to know about it. I was sitting there, and he had the preacher stand. There must have been 125 of them. And if I had known anything about the second coming, I lost it all when these preachers stood up. J. Harold Smith, Lester Roloff, and, you know, preachers like that. And so I got up to preach. I'm going to preach on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started out knowing the flood. Now, it's a long time between knowing the flood and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, a long time. And I got hung up, and I forgot how long it rained. I said, how long did it rain? Nobody would answer me. Now, if I'd have been in a black church, someone would have helped me. How long did it rain? And finally, the number 40 came to this brain of mine. I said, yes, it rained for 40 years, night and day. Then someone hollered out, what a flood, what a flood. What a flood. But I imagine Noah wondered, is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile? Preaching all that. And then one day he told his wife, he had a different message. She said, thank God, you've been preaching that one long enough. Got a new message, yes. What is that message? The animals are going to come in two by two and march into the ark. She said, no, you're crazy. You're crazy. He said, I may be, but that's what God told me to preach, and I'm going to preach it. And I wonder if Noah didn't think, well, is it worthwhile? Daniel must have thought, is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile? And Paul the apostle, the great preacher of the word of God, beaten and smitten and jailed and all of that, must have wondered from time to time, is it worthwhile? Now, this business of following the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, you must know Him as your Savior. You understand that. Now, we're preaching to people and preachers here that have the knowledge of that. But you can't be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ until you've been born again, until you've been born of the Spirit of God. And that started in my life in November the 21st, 1951. November the 21st, 1951, on Wednesday night, I walked down the aisle and took Brother Smith by the hand and said, I want to get right with God. I want to get right with God. I was a member of the church, joined the church when I was 12 years old. But I never had been born again, never had been saved. And I said, I want to get right with God. And he told me to kneel over here by the platform. And a young man by the name of Bob Eels prayed with me. And he said, now you pray. And I didn't know how to pray. And he didn't tell me about the sinner's prayer. And all I did, I said, Lord God, I've sinned and I'm sorry. And you know the Bible says, godly sorrow bringeth forth repentance. And that's the night I was born again. And haven't been the same since. And I'm grateful. But now then, I worked in the church as a layman. I was a deacon in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher in the church. And I found out if you'll do everything the pastor wants you to do, you'll never see home again. That was in those days, you know. That was in those days. But then God asked me to go to another level. I was a public accountant, and God asked me to leave my accounting office and began to preach as an evangelist. And back then, I was in Southern Baptist in those days, and I didn't know anything about church support, didn't know anything about any kind of support. All the support I knew anything about was God's support. And I found out that's the best you can have is the support of the Lord. But all the heartaches as a young evangelist out there preaching the Word of God, and preachers who did not know how to take care of a preacher. Boy, I'll tell you, you know how here. I'll guarantee you that. But there, I was preaching one meeting, and my wife was dying of cancer, and I can't go into all of that. But I was about, let's see, Oklahoma City's 200. I was about 287 miles from home, and riding on the. I had a bus in those days that I rode on, and on the side of it it said Greyhound, a big long bus. And the preacher on the last night of the service, he said, "We're not going to take an offering for Brother Jack tonight, but if you want to give him anything, you can hand it to him there as you go out." Well, he took me down at the bus station, and he didn't know what the offering was. And he asked me, he said, "Did you get enough to get out of town on?" Now, it was only a two-week meeting. And he said, "Did you get enough to get out of town on?" And I said, "Well, yes, I did." He said, "How much was it?" I said, $87. $87. My heart was down to the very bottom. I said, "Oh, Lord, is it worthwhile? Lord, I was making money as an accountant, I was taking care of my wife and my children. And, Lord, here I am out here struggling and doing the best I can." And I said, "Lord, is it worthwhile?" And the hard times back in those days financially. I remember one time, knock on the door, and it was the sheriff. And he said, "I have an eviction notice here for you. You have to be out of this house in 30 days. And when you get notices like that, and some of you may have had that notice, but when you get a notice like that, you cry out to the Lord and you say, 'Oh, Lord, is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile?'" Well, as a veteran, I'm going to tell you right now, it is worthwhile. And all of these men that I've mentioned would say, it is worthwhile. And every preacher that's here, thank God, would stand up and say, it is worthwhile. Now, why is it worthwhile? Well, first of all, it's worthwhile in this life. In this life. You know, in this life, we have something that we didn't have before we surrendered to God. And that is the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. I see these. And by the way, this doesn't look like the boot camp I was in San Diego, California, in World War II. No, no. Doesn't look like that at all. but they gave us armor. But here in the Word of God, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Thank God I have that armor tonight. And the devil will throw his wicked darts at us, I tell you for sure. But I thank God I have power over sin that I did not have before. I do not have to yield to temptation. Why? Because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before I was saved, I didn't want to be caught in my sin. Before I was saved, I knew I was doing wrong, but I didn't want to be caught in it. But thank God now I can walk down the street right here and say, thank the Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will shield me. And when those temptations come, I have the Word of God, and I can walk without being ashamed of the way I lived the day before. Now, I was in Philadelphia. And it's a layover. I think I was going down to Elkton, Maryland. I'm not sure. Brother Tom Wallace down there. I preach against the movies. John Rice preached against the movies. We used to preach against the movies. We don't do that anymore because we got them in our living room. That will take the preaching out of us, you know, some things that we ought to preach about. But back in those days, I sat under preachers that preached against the movies. I sat under preachers that preached against swimming with the opposite sex. I sat under preachers that preached against smoking cigarettes. I preached against, I listened to preachers that preached against dancing. I preached against all of that. And I'd preach that in the Philadelphia area. And it was the summertime. And it was hot. I mean hot. And I had a couple hours layover and on my bus, and they were working on it, I guess. And I saw this movie house, and it said, "Come in, cool off. Come in and cool off." Boy, the devil said, "There, you can go in. You can just close your eyes if you want to. You don't have to look at the screen." Fire darts of the devil. And you better watch him. Because he'll throw some at you. And if you don't have this armor on, you'll yield to temptation. And all the preachers that have yielded to temptation, we all know of them. And it's a shame, isn't it? It's just a shame. Wonderful preachers that preach the Word of God. And lo and behold, they yielded to temptation. You heard of the Bobby Petrino football coach, University of Arkansas? Heard of him? Wonderful football coach. I'm a Razorback fan. And I know we're in Illinois, so I'm not going to call the Hogs. Bobby Petrino is an excellent coach, University of Arkansas. 2 weeks ago, he's on a motorcycle and skidded off the highway and banged himself up. And he reported to the athletic director. Athletic director asked him if there's anybody with him. He said, "No, no one was with me. I was the only one." He forgot to tell him that he had a 25-year-old employee, woman, with him. And all of the things came out. All of the sin came out. Now, Bobby Petrino thought he could get away with sin. Cost him everything. They fired him right on the spot, just like the University of Arkansas. Thank God for them. They fired the coach that was building a wonderful team. Now, Bobby Petrino, he was paid $3.6 million a year to coach the University of Arkansas. He lost $3.6 million a year and his reputation because he sinned against God. You, be sure your sins find you out. And so this sign there, I can chase rabbits and get back to my point. Did you know that? That's good when you do that. Now, when I was a youngster, I couldn't do that. I'd forget about the flood and everything else. But here's this movie house. Come in and cool off. And the devil said, "Why don't you go on in?" Now, I'd preach against going to movies. And finally, I got the victory, and I said, "I'm not going to do it." And I walked to the corner, and so help me, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Aren't you Evangelist Jack Thompson?" Now, what if I'd have been walking out of that movie house? Oh, my dear friend, thank God it's worthwhile in this life. Because you can have victory over sin and claim it. It's worthwhile because God will hear and answer your prayers. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to pray. Thank the Lord. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that are desired of Him. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. I have 26 grandchildren. We have 26 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren. and their parents and all of them out, not the great-grandchildren, but all out in the automobiles there in Oklahoma City and Indianapolis and driving. And I could receive a phone call, and your grandson or your son or your daughter has been in an automobile accident, and they're in the hospital. You need to come. In fact, that happened to us just recently in Oklahoma City. And thank God I can say, oh, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. And God does help. But some will give up their privilege of prayer over some little old sin in their life. Some little old sin in their life. They let these thoughts come into their mind, and they dwell on them. And they dwell on them. And that's why preachers fall. And that's why church people fall. And that's why deacons fall. And that's why young men fall. And that's why married couples fall. Oh, thank God for the privilege of prayer. Don't give it up over some little old sin. Some little old sin. Of course, I don't have time to go into all the prayers, but one time in particular, I had a meeting in Oklahoma. I live in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and didn't have the money to get over there. I said, Lord, you know I'm a big-time evangelist, and it's not going to look right for me to be out here on the highway hitchhiking. Now you talk to the Lord like that when you're down. You're no finances. And I had a car, but I left it at home for my wife, and gasoline's about 20 cents a gallon back in those days. Maybe 12 cents. It's been down to 12 cents. Lord, I got in my closet. That was my car that time. Just drove around there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I said, now, Lord, I have to leave tomorrow. And, Lord, if I don't have some money, I'm going to hitchhike to that meeting in Oklahoma. And it's going to look bad on you, Lord. Now, I don't know whether you ought to talk to the Lord like that or not, Brother Terry, but that's the way I did. And I pulled up, and the mailman had just left. And I got the mail, and in the mail was two $25 checks. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to pray. Wonderful. I didn't even know one of the persons that sent the $25, but God knew. And He knew that I needed the money. And He said, ask, ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened. And thank God it's worthwhile to deny yourself, because you can pray and God will answer your prayers. It is worthwhile, because souls will be saved. Isn't it wonderful? Souls will be saved. When you're saved, and especially in my case, 28 years old and a drastic change in my life, when you live for 28 years lost, you've done a lot of things that are not pleasing to your family, to your employer, to the Lord, to God. And so when I was saved, such a change came over my life that all my family recognized it. All my family recognized it. My father-in-law came and knocked on the door on a Saturday night and said, can Jesus do for me what He did for you? I said, yes, He can. Took him to church, and he was born again. Thank God for that. Jack Hood, my brother-in-law, took him to church. I never shall forget this. On a Wednesday night. And the pastor, he just said, if you're not right with God, stand to your feet. Jack Hood sitting next to me, I just punched him like that. Old Hood jumped up just like that. He said, I'm not right with God. And he was saved. And it's wonderful. And then you'll have a burden for those that are lost in your home. And in your business, and in your neighborhood, you'll have a business. When you deny yourself for the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll put that burden upon you to win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have these experiences, but I want to tell you about one of the most outstanding experiences I had in this business of soul winning. I just finished a meeting in Altus, Oklahoma, Air Force Base, and went to Tullahoma, Tennessee, down from Murfreesboro, Tennessee there, and was preaching for Brother George Parks, and finished the meeting and got on the train to to go up to Nashville and then over to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And, boy, the train was filled with smoke. Filled with smoke. And I thought, well, I'll go back into the smoker. Maybe no one back there. And sure enough, there wasn't. And the smoking room was clear. And in came a soldier. He still had on his uniform and everything. And I recognized that he was in the Air Force. And I began to witness to him and telling him that I'd been in Altus, Oklahoma, and so forth. And I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, no, I'm not a Christian. And I said, well, why not? Don't you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yes, I believe that. Well, don't you believe that he died for it? Yes, I believe that. Don't you believe that he was buried and rose again for you? I believe that. Well, why then don't you trust him as your Savior? And he said, I've committed a sin that God won't forget. No, no, you haven't, son. You haven't forgiven. You haven't committed a sin God won't forget. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And I won him to the Lord. And he said, I want you to go and meet my wife. And I thought, well, he wants me to talk to his wife and win her to the Lord. So I was anxious to meet his wife, and he took me out into the car, and he almost fell through the floor of the car. I knew his wife. She was in the meeting in Altus, Oklahoma, and she'd asked me to pray for her husband that he might be saved. And that's the way God works. A prepared sinner and a prepared soul winner. And I want to tell you, as a veteran, I'm not a novice preacher. As a veteran, it is worthwhile. Thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a great start, amen. Thank you, Brother Thompson. You know, I was sitting there thinking how few voices there are still preaching that can talk about John Rice and Roloff and these J. Harold Smith as contemporaries. And I'm so thankful, Brother Coral, you had Brother Thompson come. What a great way to start off a conference like this. We're trying to get a hold of that spirit and keep it. Amen. And God can do that again. Tremendous message. Thank you so much, Brother Thompson, for that opening message. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you are a veteran preacher. We recognize that. And that you have our ear. Outstanding message tonight. I appreciate it so very, very much. We're going to take a break just in a minute. Before we do, I want to recognize the